Further down the ballot, if you look at local elections, like for school board elections or city council elections, average turnout is only 6% of registered voters.
Welcome to the Know Why podcast. I'm your host, Liberty McCarter. For many of us, it's not enough to know what people say about life's most important questions. We also want to know why. Each week, Know Why tackles tough questions on topics ranging from spirituality to current events. While we approach these issues from a Christian perspective, we discuss diverse opinions and ultimately dive into what the research says. Are you ready to know why? Let's get started. Welcome to the Know Why podcast. I'm so glad you're listening today because we have even more great information for you when it comes to voting and political engagement. If you've been listening for the last few weeks, you know that we are in a series on political engagement. And we've talked about things like making sure that you're registered to vote. How do we make sure that we don't let the bitterness and sometimes the angry tenor of the politics today inform the way we engage in politics? We've talked about the history of the Electoral College and all sorts of things, and we have more topics coming, but I wanted to talk with Debbie Wethnow today. She is the president of iVoter Guide, and she just has so much good information and wisdom to share and just really, really good practical steps and resources for you as you engage in politics. So that's who we're talking to today. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my honor to be here.
So Debbie is the president of iVoter Guide, as I said, which is a wonderful resource, and we'll talk more about it throughout the program. And she's also the vice president of American Family Association Action and member of the board. Debbie holds a master's degree in computer science from Princeton University and worked as a systems engineer at AT&T Bell Laboratories for 5 years. She spent many years as a stay-at-home mom while organizing events for her church and community. And Debbie joined iVoter Guide in 2011 as a data analyst and was named president in 2018. Under her leadership, iVoter Guide has evaluated over 13,000 candidates and educated 6.8 million voters in 2022. Debbie is also the organization's spokesperson and has appeared on American Family Radio and many other talk shows and news agencies throughout the country. And she's also a handbell musician and was a member of the Council Oak Bells from Round Rock, Texas. And she and her husband, Mark, live in Austin and have 3 children. So again, Debbie, so glad you're here. Also, that's so cool that you're a handbell musician. I know nothing about that except for that it's beautiful. Do you play a lot still?
I still play in one choir at my church. At one point, I was in 3 different handbell groups, which was pretty time consuming. But it's the body of Christ in action. You need every person doing their part to play handbells, and it's a great way to worship and to build community with fellow believers in your church or your community.
Wow, that is so beautiful, and I love that that metaphor of, you know, everybody has their part to play, and we all have our part to play in our civic engagement as well. And so we want to make sure that we equip our listeners here. And so one thing that I wanted to start off with asking you is just about the difference that voting can make. Earlier this year, a national poll released by the Institute of Politics at Harvard Kennedy School found that fewer young Americans now plan to vote in November than did in the election in 2020. And I've actually talked to, you know, some young people that I know, and a lot of people just feel like it's kind of pointless to vote. And what surprises me is this is actually regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, so to speak, people can get discouraged because they think, you know, they're so discouraged by voter fraud, or they feel like there's voter suppression, or just like, well, it's all decided. My one vote doesn't matter anyways. You have some great resources on this at iVoter Guide. So can you talk to us about whether one vote actually matters?
Well, it definitely does. You know, a lot of people will focus on the presidential race because it's the one that most people talk about. It monopolizes in many ways the national media, but that's one race that everybody votes in, and it can be, you feel like your one vote might get lost in that cacophony. Mm-hmm. But even at that level, there are certain states that it was a few thousand votes that determines the result in that state. But the president is just one race out of almost over 10,000 races that are going to occur each year. And the further down the ballot you go, the more the opportunity for you to make an impact. And if you also look at the time the elections occur, so the presidential election in November is the time that the most people vote. It's probably going to be over 60% of registered voters who will turn out to vote. Realize that only 65% of people are actually registered to vote, which is why I love that you are encouraging young people to get registered to be able to make their voice heard. But there's another election that occurs earlier in the year. It's happening, it's already happened in Texas. It's called a primary election. It's happening in other states across the nation. And the average turnout in a primary election is only 20%. Wow. Now compare that to the 60% in November, and you can see that there's a much bigger opportunity to make your voice heard. And if you think about the legislative races, so anytime you have a district that's drawn, like for Congress, for the House, you have, you know, you live in a certain congressional district, or in your state legislature, they have, you know, certain senators, you'd have a certain senator representing you and certain legislators. Well, every 10 years, they redraw those lines, and they draw them in such a way that 80 to 85%, if not more, of those are favor one party over the other. So voting in November doesn't make a huge difference because it's pretty much a foregone conclusion in over 80% of those races. But if you vote in the primary election, that's when you can really have a big difference in who you get elected. And there's fewer people voting, so it just magnifies. It's only like one in 20 people who will vote in a primary election. So every vote, it's you know, if you're a bargain hunter, that's the time to get the best bargain, the best bang for your vote. And then further down the ballot, if you look at local elections, like for school board elections or city council elections, average turnout is only 6% of registered voters.
Wow.
It's a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, not only people that don't participate, but winning margins aren't, you know, they're not always tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of votes. There's many cases where it's hundreds or dozens, or, you know, even sometimes it's one vote. There was, you know, many races that have been decided by one vote, one person who stayed home. There was a school board race I heard about that happened in Iowa. And the guy who was running didn't have time to go vote. And he turns out he lost the election because nobody voted. If the guy had voted for himself, he would have won.
Oh, wow.
I know. There's state legislative races that, you know, are won by one vote, by six votes, school board races that are won by, you know, fewer people than that are in a fraternity or that are in a church. So it really, your vote really does have power, especially in primary elections, especially in local elections, runoff elections, but even at the presidential level, every vote, somebody told me that it was really came down to nationwide 60,000 votes in a few key counties that swung the presidential election in 2020. So every vote makes a difference.
Wow. Yeah. I love those examples. I love hearing the stories because it is encouraging to, you know, as a voter to say, wow, you know, I really am making a difference. And you may say, well, you know, I'm just one person, but if a whole lot of people say I'm just one person, so it doesn't matter, then all of a sudden you've got a lot of people that aren't voting. And, you know, it does add up. And something that has kind of become a theme in this series is just the importance of those local candidate, those local positions and offices and those local races, because when it comes to your local community where you live, that's really where, you know, you can make a big difference on just the quality of life for you and your neighbors. And so I love the fact that, you know, you really can make a big difference when you show up for those local elections. A lot of people don't even realize that the local elections are happening. Before we move on to the next question, any other examples or stories of election outcomes that you can think of that were decided by a slim margin?
Well, there's the North Carolina Supreme Court that had a chief justice that was, they had a very strong constitutional originalist jurist running for the Supreme Court, and he's running against an incumbent that was a liberal activist. In fact, some places had called her the next Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she was the sitting justice. And the conservative jurist defeated her by just 400 votes out of the entire state of North Carolina. And that was just one race out of six that flipped the control of the North Carolina Supreme Court from liberal activist to conservative. And after that happened it took two election cycles. But after that happened, the court then reheard a ruling that the previous liberal court had overturned the voter ID law that was passed, so that you did not have to use a voter ID. You know, when people are concerned about election integrity, there are laws that are passed by legislatures, but there's also court rulings. So the judges that are on the ballot are just as important as the legislators that are on the ballot or the city council members. And that court that was then flipped then reheard that case and made voter ID the law in North Carolina. So you're going to have to show one in North Carolina when you go to vote this year, because of 401 people out of the entire state of North Carolina who voted and voted conservatively.
Wow. And, you know, I think that's something else that people need to think about, too, is because you can have legislation, but that doesn't go into effect, or like you talk about, that is overturned eventually because of who's actually deciding, you know, whether or not that law can stay. And that's the courts.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much power in all three branches. You know, we pay a lot of attention to the executive branch, the legislative branch with Congress, but the judicial branch, and those people are either elected or in some cases they're retained in office at the state level, or they're appointed by the president, or approved by Senate. So that comes down to who you would vote for Senate, or they're appointed by, you know, governors or things like that. So if you're not happy with some of the rulings coming down, it's also an encouragement, should be an encouragement to you to get out there and to vote, and to vote what your values stand for, and to do the research so that you're voting for people who think like you think and will represent your values.
Yeah, and such a good segue to what I wanted to ask next. We've established that our vote does matter, and that's a big responsibility to use our vote well. But if we're going to do that, that means we do have to really know who we're voting for. And so you have some great steps. We've talked about this in some other episodes, just the importance of taking the time to research. And so many people, they will only rely on maybe an endorsement that they heard or something, and they don't really take the time to dig deep in all the ways that they could. But I love how iVoter Guide really gives several steps of, okay, like, here's how you research a candidate. So could you talk about that, please?
Well, let me talk about it first from the perspective of iVoterGuide.com does a lot of the research for you, but not for every candidate. We research the candidates at the federal level in all 50 states. We research state legislative candidates in 32 states and statewide candidates like governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, auditor, state board of education, state Supreme Court. We're doing the research on all of those candidates, and you can find it at iVoterGuide.com. If you enter your voting address, you will see the ballot and all the candidates and races iVoterGuide has covered. But the tips that we've got are to guide you in what we do for those legislative candidates so that you can do the same thing for candidates that iVoterGuide doesn't have the bandwidth to cover right now. And the first is to know who's on the ballot. Mm-hmm. You need to gather your supplies. Check out and find out, you know, what is going to be on the ballot. You can do that at your county election office. I just go to your favorite search engine and type in your county name and sample ballot, and maybe November 2024 or primary 2024. Maybe you have an upcoming election in Texas. We have one in May that's going to be a school board and local election. See what's on the ballot then. And then you need to start doing your research, right? So iVoterGuide is a great place to start. Go to iVoterGuide.com. You can either click on the map on the homepage and dive down into what we've got in your area, and it will show you elections we are covering and have covered in the past. But then you need to start doing some searching on your own. If iVoterGuide hasn't covered the candidates that are on your ballot, you can start using an internet search. You can Google their name, look for their website, look for their social media accounts, maybe Facebook, they've got X or Insta or... And then read what they say. Are they attending a March for Life? Or are they at a BLM rally? Are they, you know, speaking with pro-life groups? Are they at things with veterans? You know, where do they stand on immigration and taxes and things like that? So use the tools that we all have to do research papers on and research each candidate. You can also look at what they've done with their money. iVoterGuide does on the candidates we research. We've downloaded the entire campaign finance database from the Federal Election Commission, which is where you find information on federal candidates, or you can find there, maybe you've got a local candidate, you can search for that local candidate's name And it will show you on the FEC, at Federal Election Commission, I think, .gov website. You can find out who they've given money to. Maybe it's an ideological organization like Planned Parenthood or National Right to Life. Maybe it's a federal candidate that you can then look at iVoter Guide and find out, you know, like what does that candidate stand for? Are they aligning with conservative candidates or liberal candidates? But then if you've got, you can go in your state to a state agency that manages campaign finance reporting. So any candidate that runs at the state level reports to like that Secretary of State. It's, you know, it's different for every state. You have to do your little research and search for the candidate's name, find out who's given money to their campaign. For local candidates, it gets even harder. You can go to maybe your county elections office and see if that candidate's had to file information about, you know, who's given them money, and just follow the money. It's like a bloodhound sniffing out the motivations of who's buying influence, or, you know, maybe who they align with, that will give you a hint at how they'll think and how they'll vote.
Yeah.
And then the next one would be if there's any groups who do scorecards on those candidates to know how they voted on things. You know, if you've got a city council member, maybe you can look at old city council meeting minutes and say, you know, who voted for the big tax increase, or who voted for that policy of homeless camping, or, you know, whatever policy you want to find out. Look through those meeting minutes, find out how those people sitting on the council voted, and find out, you know, which one aligns with you, and identify what your important issues are. And the other one is to look for endorsements. And the best way to find those is either on their website or on their social media, or use Google and type the candidate's name and the word endorsement. And you might find any individuals or organizations that endorsed them. Once you find out that that organization endorsed them, dig into what that organization aligns with. What are their policies? Because that will give you insight into what that candidate agrees with. And you can always send a candidate a questionnaire, or you can go to forums or go to debates and ask them questions. You can get sample questions at iVoterGuide.com. We have a news article that gives you the questions we ask on our candidate questionnaire, which is a great place for you to start. So there are a lot of tools in your toolbox to help you be a wise voter.
Thank you so much for listening to this conversation today. Hopefully it's given you something to think about and helped you understand the why behind your beliefs a little bit better. Don't forget, if you want to find any resources that we mentioned in this episode or contact us with questions and ideas, visit us at knowwhypodcast.com. Be sure to tune in next week for part 2 of our interview with Debbie Wethnow.